Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Luke chapter 1, this is the second Sunday of Advent. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 68. This is the beautiful song of Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. As you may remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth were trying to have a baby for a long time, and they couldn't have a baby. And an angel appeared to Zechariah and said, "Guess what? You're going to be a dad." And he didn't believe it. And because of his disobedience, the Lord shut his mouth. And after John was born, he was able to speak again. And not only did he speak, but he gives us one of the most beautiful songs and prayers in all the New Testament, which is so appropriate for this second Sunday of Advent as we are preparing our hearts and minds and our spirit for Christmas. Just as John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord, we are preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And so Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 68, and this is Zechariah's song that I want for us to meditate on this morning. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Amen. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear." That's my prayer for us, is that we would serve God with no hint of fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Minus the sunglasses, Charles Wesley was the Bono of his generation. And if you don't know who Bono is, first of all, give me your phone and I'll update your Spotify. And the next time U2 goes on their world tour, once all the COVID and the variants are taken care of, I'll take you to a U2 concert and you'll be amazed. But if you don't know who Bono is, just Google Bono and his interview with Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson was a wonderful biblical scholar who translated the Bible into what is the Message translation and paraphrase. And you'll watch a great interview between a very popular singer, songwriter, and a theologian discussing the scriptures. It's a beautiful interview. But Charles Wesley, the great Wesleyan hymn writer who wrote over 6,000 hymns, so beautifully captures the essence of Advent and Christmas in his amazing hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. And that's the phrase I want for us to meditate on today. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. And notice how Wesley addresses two critical themes that each and every person must come to terms with and deal with. Our fears and our sins. Our fears and our sins. Now here's the thing about our fears and our sins. If our fears and our sins are not dealt with, they will get the best of us. Now we all have fears, and we all have sins. Anyone want to talk about your fears? Or your sins? No, we won't get to the sin part. List some of the most common fears. Anyone want to? What are some of the common fears that? Heights, health, getting lost, the fear of getting lost.
Rejection.
Fear of rejection, absolutely. What else? What was that?
Failure.
Fear of failure.
Fear of alone.
The fear of being alone. Absolutely. The fear of being hated or the fear of not being liked. The fear of public speaking. Any of you want to come up and preach this morning? We all have fears, all of us, that we have to deal with. Arachnobutyrophobia. You know what that is? No. It's the fear of having peanut butter stick to the roof of your mouth. I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up. Phobophobia is the fear of fears. Some of you, I can see it in your eyes right now. I can see it in the way you're squirming. Have the fear of the preacher preaching for too long. You know, I can sense that. And some of us, I won't mention who, but some of us are dealing with something called fragapanophobia. You know what fragapanophobia is? It's the fear of birthdays. Yeah. I'm dealing with that as I have a birthday coming up. I know Tammy does as well this week. I don't know if she suffers from fragapanophobia. But we all have fears. By the way, you're all invited to our all-church Christmas party on Friday, 6 o'clock up in Cook Hall. It's our all-church Christmas, someone is turning 50 party. So come, have a great time. Bring a brand new wrapped gift valued at $10 for every person who's going to participate in our fun game of gift stealing and exchanging. So that's this Friday, 6 o'clock, Cook Hall. We're going to have a great time. And help me get over fragapanophobia, as these birthdays that end in zero are really starting to scare me. One of the most beautiful messages of the Advent season are the fear nots of Scripture. I mean, they're sprinkled all throughout the Advent narrative. Because we all have fears that we have to deal with. And this was true back in the first century. You have to remember the people of God had went 400 years before hearing a word from the Lord. Last week we talked about the 400 years in captivity that the people of God experienced while slaves in Egypt. While that intertestamental period between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years God had been silent. No prophet to speak for the Lord. There was certainly a fear of the unknown. Has God forgotten us? Has God left us to ourselves? And there were other uncertainties as well, as the people of God were being ruled by the ruthless Romans. And so they dealt with fears and uncertainties as well. But the Christmas message, the Advent message, is filled with the beautiful proclamation of fear not. Let's look at a couple of them. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Mentioned Zechariah earlier. Well, he was a man who was paralyzed by fear. I mean, an angel comes out of the blue and says, you're going to be a daddy? I'd be paralyzed as well, too. Luke chapter 1, Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped, paralyzed with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Do not be afraid. God has indeed heard your prayer." And so you have the fear not of Zechariah. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But after he had considered this, which was leaving, divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Fear not to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 30. We have the fear of Mary. Mary was terrified. Angel Gabriel appeared to her as well and announced to her that the Lord had favored her and she was to bear the Son of God. Wouldn't you be afraid? And in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God." And finally, go to Luke chapter 2, one chapter over. And we have the fear of the shepherds. I'll begin at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. They were shaken in their shepherd boots. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I don't know what fears you are dealing with individually, but we all struggle with this area. And as you have already mentioned, there are common fears that can plague all of us. And I just want to remind you today, as your pastor, as someone who loves you, as your friend, the beautiful message of Advent, the proclamation of God to his people, is fear not. Do not be afraid. Whatever is troubling you, whatever is plaguing you, whatever is paralyzing you, give it to God. He will help you through it. God is with us. God is with you. Emmanuel means God with us. The message of Advent, that very first Christmas to Zechariah and Joseph and Mary and the shepherds, is the same message to you. Don't be afraid. God is with you and he wants to help you and give you the confidence and the assurance and the power you need to overcome your fears and to not give in to fears. It's interesting, as I study the life of Jesus, is that Jesus is portrayed in the Gospels as one who not only ever gave in to sin, but never did he give in to fear. I mean, not once do we read about Jesus that he was afraid, right? Zechariah was afraid, and Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and others. But nowhere do we read that Jesus was afraid. And so he is to be our example. Were there times that he was dismayed? Absolutely. Were there times that he was troubled in his spirit to the point of sorrow and sweating blood? Of course. But he did not allow fear to paralyze him and to keep him from doing what he was sent to do. Because the promise of Scripture is that we have the confidence to overcome our fears. Wesley wrote, "From our fears and sins release us. And so I just want to pray for any of you. God, release from anyone here today, release them from the fears that may be gripping them and paralyzing them. And help these people to live with confidence and power and assurance that they too need not be afraid. Fear is not from God. The scriptures make that very clear. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love, the perfect love of God, drives out all fear. So we know that fear and sin are not from God. The other issue that we have to deal with is our sin. We all have fears. And we all have sins. Every single one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in much the same way as fear can paralyze us and immobilize us and keep us from moving forward, sin can have the very same effect. When we live in sin, it keeps us from moving forward with God. It keeps us from maturing. It stunts our growth, and it will ultimately lead to our destruction. John Wesley, the older brother to Charles Wesley, defined sin as this, and this is a very important definition. He defined sin as the willful transgression of the known law of God. So if we know something is wrong, and we do it anyway, that is sin. Now, God has built into humanity natural laws that even non-religious people are aware of. Most every single person on this planet, in whatever culture they live in, instinctively knows that to kill somebody else is wrong. You don't have to read the Bible to know that. You don't have to be religious to know that. There's an instinctive nature within us that tells us, I shouldn't kill another person. This 15-year-old kid who pulled out a gun at school in Michigan this last week, and let's assume he and his parents were non-religious and didn't go to church, he knew what he was doing was wrong. And I would say it was evil. And so sin is the willful, I am deliberately and willfully going to go against what I know to be wrong, what God says to be wrong. And then, of course, the scriptures lay out more specific sins that, as the people of God, we need to be aware of and then turn away from. Kids, if you're being disobedient to your parents, that's a sin. If there's someone here today and you're lying, stop it. Because you're willfully not telling the truth. If you are a thief, you are stealing and you are sinning. Unless we deal with our sins, we will be consumed and paralyzed by our sin, and it will keep us separated from God. We only hurt ourselves, we hurt others, and we need to be delivered, not just from our fears, but also from our sins. The good news is, Jesus came to deliver us from our sins. When Jesus encountered that woman caught in the act of adultery, what did he say to her? He set her free. He said, go and sin no more. Praise God that he gives us the power and the confidence and the assurance and the forgiveness to stop sinning and to start living for him. And all indications are that this woman stopped her lifestyle, turned her lifestyle completely around, and began living for Jesus. Turn to 1 John 3:6. 1 John 3:6. No one who lives in him, God, keeps on sinning. So if you're willfully, deliberately breaking the law of God, stop. So that you then now can live in God and in the fullness of God. John continues and says, no one who continues to sin has either seen God or known him. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 and 28 real quick. Apostle Paul makes it very, very clear. Gives us an example. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's what sin does. Sin opens up the pathway for the enemy to get even a greater hold on our lives. Verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4. He who has been stealing, cut it out. That's what he says. Must steal no longer. Jesus came as our deliverer to deliver us from our fears and from our sins. That's the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, that only he can break the bonds, the chains of fear and sin. That's the first coming of Christ. Christ came to deliver us from our fears and our sins. The second coming of Christ, which no one knows the day or the hour, the second coming of Christ, Jesus will deliver us from the fears and the sins that others impose upon us. That's what we call in theological jargon the eschaton. That's where we get the word eschatology, the end times. When Christ returns a second time, he will deliver his people from the fears and the sins that a sinful world inflicts upon us in judgment. He will rid all the evildoers, and his people will live in peace and harmony, and Messiah will usher in heaven to be on earth. And so that's why we long for the coming of the second coming of Messiah. Come, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from the fears and sins that others impose upon us. But until that time, we need to deal with our fears and our sins. And that's why the first coming of Messiah is so meaningful for us, because he sets his people free. Here's the thing about our fears and our sins. We can't deliver ourselves from them. As I talked about last week, the people of God in bondage in Egypt, they could not deliver themselves. They needed one to be raised up in the person of Moses to deliver them. And when we're talking about our fears and our sins, we cannot deliver ourselves from our own phobias. We need help. And we certainly cannot save ourselves from our own sins. We need a Savior. We need a Deliverer. We need a Redeemer who will come and rescue us and save us and redeem us. Let's go back to 1 John. Just a couple verses to close with. 1 John 1:7. This is the promise of what Christ will do for his people. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Only Christ and his shed blood, that's why we are going to take communion this morning, only Christ and his shed blood and his power of deliverance can purify us from all sins. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot. Go down to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what our Lord does. He, not anyone else, certainly not ourselves, but he delivers us, forgives us, frees us from a lifestyle of deliberately sinning against God and against others. And he purifies us and sets us free. That's why Holy Communion is so, so significant for us. It is an act of worship where we say, thank you, God, for shedding your blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus to set us free. Turn in your hymnals to responsive reading 159. Messiah brings peace on this second Sunday of Advent as we prepare our hearts for communion. I will read the regular print, you read the bold print with me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear much fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Almighty God, you come to bring peace. You come to deliver. You come to save. And if there's someone here today, God, who is struggling with either a fear or a sin, may they not leave your presence today. May they not leave this place today until they cry out to you like a desperate person who's drowning in the sea and is crying for help. May they cry out to you and say, God, deliver me, save me, release me from this fear that I can't shake off. And Lord, save me, deliver me, forgive me, redeem me from my sinful lifestyle. And the promise of Scripture is that the blood of Jesus Christ will set us free. And by faith we receive the power of our Savior and our Deliverer. By faith we receive Jesus Christ to bring us peace where no one else can bring such peace. We confess our fears and our sins. We confess that we are mortal, that we are human, that we are broken and sinful people in need of a Savior.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.